You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
You're listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up.
Hello, Dolphin fans. You're listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, brought to you by BetUS. I'm your host, Steven Masso, on this Wednesday, September 15th. Now, in today's episode, we're going to be discussing some of my takeaways from the Dolphins' regular season opener. They came away with the W over New England. We're going to be talking about some of my takeaways, things to look forward to, maybe some concerns. All of that is going to be discussed in today's episode. We also have some notes from the press conferences with the coaches that will be discussed as well as some injury news in regards to the team. So first, we're going to begin with the injury news here. Defensive tackle Raekwon Davis was placed on IR, and he can return in 3 weeks if his knee is healed by then. If you remember, he sustained a knee injury where he was kind of rolled up on in the last game, appeared to be in visible pain. Hopefully, he can make a quick recovery. Maybe there's more updates by the time you're listening to it, but as of right now, all it says is that if his knee is healed, he can return, but there's no real details in regards to what kind of knee injury he sustained on that play. Now, real quick, before we get into my takeaways from last week's game, we do have a quick word from our friends over here at Manscaped. Our friends at Manscaped are the global leaders in below-the-waist grooming, and they want to make sure you use the right tools for the job. That's why everyone should choose Manscaped when it comes time for all their grooming needs. Everyone go to manscaped.com and use the promo code DolphinsTalk to save 20% off on your order and get free shipping. Try out such great products as the Lawnmower 4.0, the Weed Whacker, the Shed Travel Bag, the Crop Reviver, and the Crop Preserver. 2 million men worldwide trust them, so join the Manscaped movement with our exclusive offer again by using the promo code DolphinsTalk for 20% off and free shipping. Now, guys, to get into my takeaways from last week's game, the first thing that we have to get off the table, it was a hard-fought win, but a win is a win, especially historically when you compare how the Dolphins have fared against New England on the road in Foxborough. A win here is a massive accomplishment, and I'm very happy with that. Of course, there are things to critique, there's things to be happy with, but at the end of the day, a win is a win. Football seasons in general are pretty short, and each win contains a heavy amount of value. So the next takeaway that I have here from this game is the defense's approach, where they have this bend but don't break mentality. It's a pretty scary approach, but at the end of the day, it works. And I reflect back to last year, and I remember thinking, okay, how sustainable is this? I'm a little bit nervous. This is a little bit concerning. Can the defense really thrive like this on a week-to-week basis? And what did the Dolphins end up doing? They ended up leading the NFL in turnovers and showed us that it was, in fact, sustainable. So as much as I have that urge, I'm going to resist the urge to be concerned here and trust the Dolphins' ability to create turnovers when they had to. Of course, there was the massive play in the fourth quarter by none other than the ball hawk himself, Xavien Howard, who always finds a way to get the ball in his hands, and he came down with that clutch play, causing the fumble, and not only that, but recovering it himself to secure the win for the Dolphins. And then you had other plays very early on. Safety Eric Rowe was able to knock the ball loose, really get momentum in favor of the Dolphins when he made that hit on Ramondre Stevenson. And then not only that, another play that I think people are forgetting about, we had rookie Javon Holland flip over a 250-pound Jonnu Smith, flip him over like a rag doll, and get the ball loose. If that's not indicative of the Dolphins' ability to create turnovers, then I don't know what is. And usually they're going to have at least an interception or two in a game. So even though this game was a little bit scary and it came down to the last minute, I do think the Dolphins' defense is still in that elite category and they could have some better performances. Now, the next takeaway I have here is that I really like the weapons that the offense side of the ball has. I really like how Tua has progressed. I love what I've seen from Jalen Waddle. I think Devontae Parker had a very underrated game in this one. But I have to say, I think all of their performances are going to be dependent dependent on whether the offensive line could improve, because they did in fact struggle in that last game, and I think it's all going to hinge on them. I think Myles Gaskin is an extremely underrated back. I've been very adamant about how I think he could kind of push himself into that same category, maybe near a guy like Aaron Jones or have a season like James Robinson had last season. I think he's completely capable of that from a talent level. And I think Tua has made a huge amount of progression in terms of his confidence out there. But the offensive line performing how they did last week is going to make it very difficult for that to be sustainable. I think when Tua did have his mistakes, he had, of course, that interception where he threw the ball up. That was because the pressure was on him very quickly. He had another play that almost mirrored that same one where he had to leave the pocket to avoid the pressure, was nearly picked off on that play as well. So I think it's going to hinge a lot on the offensive line. I mentioned before, there's a lot of young guys in this group. We know that there's some raw talent. We know there's room for them to improve, but hopefully we can see it sooner rather than later, because I can't see how Tua is going to be able to throw for 300 yards consistently, or how the Dolphins are going to have a 100-yard rusher. I think the offensive line here needs to improve, and it needs to happen sooner rather than later. Now, my next takeaway here is good and bad for Dolphin fans to hear, and it's that Mac Jones had a pretty good debut. Of course, it's obvious why you don't want to hear that. You never want to hear that a rookie in your same division came out of the gates looking red hot. But at the same time, I don't think there are veterans who are going to act as composed under the pressure that the Dolphins were able to put in Mac Jones' face. So, of course, that means he played well, but at the same time, I think that also means that the Dolphins defense is going to be primed for those massive showings. And I'm thinking back to the games like against the Chargers, where Justin Herbert looked completely shook. They had a veteran in Jared Goff in that game against the Rams, completely seeing ghosts. He had no idea what to do out there. So even though that Mac Jones looked composed in this game and was able to navigate the pressure, I don't think that some of the veterans on this upcoming schedule for Miami are going to fare as well. Even Patrick Mahomes against the Dolphins had several turnovers. So while I do give props to Mac Jones for being able to play, you know, a relatively mistake-free game, he didn't necessarily do anything extravagant. He just kind of managed the game pretty well. I don't think that's going to be the case every single week for the Dolphins opposing quarterbacks. Now, my next takeaway here is you don't overreact to how Tua played in this game. At worst, it was an okay performance, maybe a little bit below average. You know, he did some things very well. He did some things that could have been better. As mentioned, those throws under pressure downfield were risky, and he probably shouldn't have done it. They were a little bit ill-advised. But in that, again, that intermediate to short game where he really thrives, those slant routes to Devontae Parker were just completely on point in this game. There was one play in particular that I alluded to on my podcast where it appeared that he looked the defender off towards Jalen Waddle's direction, causing a little momentary bite to happen, which was just enough to create a tiny window to fit the ball to Devontae Parker, and he threw an absolute laser to him. And I think in that aspect, he was doing very good. Now, of course, he could improve, but overall, don't be overdramatic. I know people have seemed to kind of like to target Tua, make him these headlines about him not doing well. I don't think that's the case, and especially when you consider the other quarterbacks around the league this week and how they fared. We had Aaron Rodgers have an absolutely abysmal performance in week one. We saw Josh Allen, who was great last year, really struggle in week one, both of them costing their team the game in that one. And then you had Justin Herbert, even though the Chargers won, didn't necessarily do too hot in that game. So I think anybody who's kind of targeting Tua after this game, I think it's completely misguided. At the end of the day, the Dolphins still got the win. It wasn't like they got the win in spite of him either. He was able to help the team really get to that point and secure the W. So overall, I'm fine with how Tua performed in this game. I don't expect every quarterback to be lights out every single week. And as long as there's a win in the win column for right now, that's enough for me to say, don't overreact. It was fine for this week. Now, we have a quick word here from BetUS. With sports betting season in full force, with football season back in action, you need a sportsbook with integrity and longevity like BetUS. You may already know this, but BetUS has been pioneers in the sportsbook industry for almost three decades, thriving and paying their loyal customer base. That is BETUS.com, and they have loads of bonuses. Join now or call 800-69-BETUS. That is 800-MYBETUS. You receive 125% sign-up bonus by using bonus code DolphinsTalk. They have re-up and referral bonuses also. BetUS BetUS is known as America's favorite sportsbook for a lot of reasons. BetUS has all of your NFL futures and odds up already. You can bet UFC matches and props, PGA golf, and round matchups and live betting on most sports. The online casino has hundreds of games, and the racebook has all your horse tracks. They have every bet type imaginable, and the Sharp BetUS mobile app is easy with full betting options. Follow my lead and get your phone online and social sports betting partner with integrity and longevity like I did. BetUS. You bet, you win, you get paid. BetUS. Now for the next topic, a few of the Dolphins coaches had press conferences yesterday where they were able to talk about the performance last week as well as looking forward towards Buffalo. So to talk about some of the quotes from that, George Godsey was able to talk about the offense's performance, and he said, quote, "From an operation standpoint, it was clean from our perspective. We were playing on the road. That wasn't necessarily an easy environment. We have some room to improve and to eliminate the turnovers," close quote. He also offered praise to Tua Tagovailoa and his ability to command the team and, work good in the huddle. George Godsey also had an opportunity to talk about Will Fuller a little bit. He said, quote, "Will has been a high performer in his career. We're excited to get him back. I know for Will, he's itching to get back into this game." Of course, he was suspended last week, and now he has a chance to have a huge showing against Buffalo. Now, defensive coordinator Josh Boyer had an opportunity to speak about Buffalo a little bit. He said, quote, "They're a very much game plan oriented offense. One week they can look very different than the next. Any given week, their game plan can look different. They're a very talented group and very well coached." He said that because he wasn't necessarily sure if they're going to see the same Buffalo offensively that they saw last week against the Pittsburgh Steelers. He also said, when speaking about Josh Allen and the potential to use a QB spy to stop his running ability, he said, quote, "I think there's a time and a place for everything. The game has been around for a long time and we've seen it all. You just pick out what's best for the group you have and what you're going up against," close quote. So it seems like the chances of that happening are going to be entirely realistic. And then the last quote I'll mention from Boyer, they asked him if he watched the film of last year's loss to Buffalo at the end of the season. He said, quote, "I've seen it several times. I've watched it quite a bit. You try and take as much as you can each time you watch film. That's what goes on in preparation. It's definitely something that we're looking at," close quote. So I want to give some quick thoughts on the game against Buffalo. This isn't going to be a full-blown preview. If you want to hear more from me, I do a podcast called Via the Source where I'll have a pretty in-depth look at that game. But some of the things that I'm already kind of looking at for this game, the first one is going to be, how are they going to stop the passing attack against the Buffalo Bills? Because if you remember the first game especially, you had Stephon Diggs having a pretty good day against Byron Jones. Byron Jones then got hurt, and you had Noah Igbinoghi against Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs would finish the season as one of the more premier receivers in all of football. He is undisputably one of the best route runners right there alongside guys like Keenan Allen, Devontae Adams, and Amari Cooper. Stephon Diggs is in that same category. So what I'm looking at here, I think the Dolphins need to put Xavien Howard on Stephon Diggs. Have him shadow the best opposing wide receiver. It's very clear that's going to be Diggs. I know that Howard was kind of sticking to his side of the field, and I'm still confident in Byron Jones, but I just really want to see a matchup of two of the best in the league heading off face to face, and that would be Diggs versus Howard. And with Howard's ability to rack up those interceptions and the fact that is guaranteed Diggs is going to see some volume, I think that would put the Dolphins in a position to rack up some of those turnovers that it seems like they depend on, right? So the next thing I'm going to be looking at here is when it comes to stopping the running game, or the running backs, I should say, for Buffalo, those guys are pretty dynamic in the sense that they are good as receiving backs as well. Josh Allen is more than capable of just dumping it off underneath to some of these guys, and especially when I'm looking at Devin Singletary, he is capable of making guys miss. So I think this will have to be a big game from the safeties, from guys like Jerome Baker, in order to make sure they wrap up these guys, not allow them to pick up a ton of yards after the catch, which was kind of a problem for them in the past. And then you take into consideration that the Buffalo Bills added a former Dolphin that we know a little bit of, and that's Matt Breida, who has burners and could catch capitalize on any moment where you give them some space. So they will need to make sure they wrap up these guys and get them on the ground fairly quick. So hopefully the Dolphins can do that in this game. And then offensively for the Dolphins, if they could string together more consistency, if that first drive they had against New England, if we could see more of that throughout the course of a whole game, that would be awesome. Of course, Will Fuller will be returning, so you have that speed element with Jaylen Waddle pairing them together, but the offensive line will once again need to step up here and give those guys time to get down the field. Tua last week had the sixth highest average air yards per attempt, meaning he was throwing the ball relatively far down the field, but he wasn't completing them. And I think in large part, that's because the pressure was getting there. And when Tua was making those throws, he was making them off balance. He was making them while on the run, kind of trying to capitalize on broken plays instead of just being able to connect on guys on deeper routes. So again, I'm hoping the offensive line could improve. If they even improve just marginally, just a little bit, I think that should be enough that we see the guys like Jaylen Waddle, Will Fuller, Albert Wilson capitalize more on those passes that are beyond 15 yards down the field. But guys, that is how I'm going to wrap up today's episode. As always, if you'd like to hear more from me, I do a Dolphins podcast. You can check it out on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify. It's called Via the Source, V-I-A the Source. If you haven't already, I would appreciate any follows on Twitter. That is at Shady Steven and also at Via the Source. If you haven't followed Dolphins Talk, make sure to follow them on Twitter. That is at Dolphins Talk. And for all your news about the team, go to DolphinsTalk.com. Stay updated on everything in regards to the Miami Dolphins. Guys, it was a pleasure to be your host. Until next time, I'm Steve Amasso. This was your DolphinsTalk.com daily podcast brought to you by BetUS.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.